Welcome to the Artist Work Ethic Podcast. I'm Mike Pelak. I'm an actor, screenwriter, and filmmaker who's always looking to maximize my time and potential as I work to break in. In this podcast, I talk to artists of all kinds who have seen success in their fields about their process, habits, and work ethic. Today on the show is Terry Serpico. Terry is an actor who's currently recurring on Law & Order SVU as Chief of Detectives Tommy McGrath. He's been working professionally for a long time, with his first major role in Donnie Brasco alongside Johnny Depp and Al Pacino. He's also been seen in films such as Hannibal, Michael Clayton, The Interpreter, and The Purge Election Year, as well as TV shows such as Yellowstone, Army Wives, Cobra Kai, and Designated Survivor. A couple quick things before we jump into the episode. I've talked in the past about myself working on breaking into screenwriting. Please check out blackoilfilms.com/screenwriting. There you can check out some of the screenplays I've written. I have the first 10 pages of each one uploaded, but feel free to email me at theartistsworkethicpodcast@gmail.com, and I'd be happy to send you a full script if you're interested in reading. Last thing before we get into the episode, I would love anyone listening to subscribe, rate, and review the Artist's Work Ethic Podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. It really helps us put the show out there for more people to listen to. All right, Terry, thank you for coming on with me today.
No, it's my pleasure to be here. Thank you.
So you've worked for a long time in film and TV. What was that first moment when you saw it all come together and take that step into a professional level?
I'm still waiting for that moment. I suppose it was like 97 when I shot Donnie Brasco. It was my first major film. I got out of school out of SUNY Purchase in 89. I was coming up on that, you know, I'd been plugging away for a number of years and kind of laying the groundwork. I had been through a few agents and managers. I had been, you know, picked up and dropped several times on my head, I guess. I was 10 in bar. I was, you know, making a living doing that, and had gotten to the point where it was like, you know what, fuck this business. I'm not doing this anymore. This is just, you know, my heart's really not in it. I'm just going to go raise little monkeys on the beach. I'd gotten to a point where it was like, you know, I'm not really drawn to this any longer. It's just, but yeah, I was still in it. I was still auditioning. I was still kind of had my fingers in it. And then Donnie Brasco came along and I got booked, you know, playing this small co-starring part with Al Pacino and Johnny Depp, which is a nice way to start.
Sure.
And I thought, you know what? I came to this city to pursue this. If I leave now, if I leave this industry, then everything that I've invested up to this point, I'm going to lose all of that investment. I'm not going to get anything for it. My decision to become an actor was somewhat unconscious. When I was in high school, it just kind of happened that way. And I started looking for theater training programs out of high school. But I had made the decision to come to New York and to pursue acting. And if I drop it now, then I just drop it. And then I'm going to have to live with the cancerous what if.
Yep.
From then on, from that point, from that show, from that movie, from that job, it I think that to me was one of the first rungs on the ladder. You know, those first ones are just okay. I'm here. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna try it. And yep. Then it's like, oh, okay. I booked a soap opera. There's a rung, and I've had some auditions for Law & Order. Well, there's a wrong. But this was the first one that really kind of said, oh, okay, let's do this.
What's something, you know, in your career, maybe thinking about those rungs and those, some of those first early wins that, you know, maybe you went above and beyond, you know, maybe you put in that extra work or, you know, did that extra thing. What would maybe be an example of something like that? That you might have done that kind of separated you from your peers?
Well, I think one of the things that happened as a result of that job of Donnie Brasco was that I met the stunt coordinator on that job. George Aguilar was a stunt coordinator, and he's a big stunt coordinator. He's done a lot of work over the years and continues to do so. And the stable of men and women that he worked with, the stunt crew that he worked with, has also spawned several stunt coordinators over the years. George is a special dude. But when he saw me on that movie getting my ass kicked, and he's like, you know, hey, you get your ass kicked pretty well. Give me your resume. I'll get you some work. And he booked me on just about everything that he could after that. And so for several years, I worked as a stunt player. But what I found was that there was this niche, this little space in between of actors that can do stunt or stunt players that can act. And so there was this kind of little alleyway there of overlap that I was able to exploit. Well, not conscientiously exploit, but it came to me that it's like, okay, well, I booked stuff that was were stunt contracts, but I ended up with like speaking lines, you know, with Nick Cage while we're trying to cut some guy off a railing in Bringing Out the Dead, or you know, in big movies, or you know, with I had a little scene with Joaquin Phoenix in Frequency, because he's lowering me out of a burning building, and it's like, I'm not going to say nothing. And so for those years when I was working as a stunt player, I was also learning the industry. I was behind the velvet ropes at that point. I was learning what it was like to be on set, the hierarchies, the protocols, how to behave and how to be prepared when your name gets called, how to wait patiently and be prepared when your name gets called to do your job and to do your job without complaint, to do your job. You know, if the Teamsters can show up at 3 a.m. and set up my trailer, then the least I can do is show up and be ready to work. So the work ethic that I was raised with a military soldier dad and being an athlete as a young man translated into being a stunt player and being a team player on these big movies, where I learned that it's like, just keep working, be professional, be prepared, be on time, go the extra mile, spend the extra time. And don't bitch, you know.
It sounds like being open to the stunt aspect really opened, you know, maybe looking back, opened some doors that if you had been closed off to that and said, you know, no, I'm not that guy, I'm this guy, you know, might not have been able to walk through some of those doors.
Oh, absolutely. And the whole stunt community opened up a second door to the industry for me. You know, if I was trying to get in the front door here, that one was a double wide side door.
Yeah.
That I was able to walk through. And yes, I did embrace it and I enjoyed it so much. I mean the people that I worked with, this the whole stunt crew. And if they called me today and wanted me to do a job that was nondescript, you know, in the back, I'd be happy to do it. I mean, I'm not going to get hit by cars. I'm a little old for that. Leave that for the young guys.
Yeah.
But, you know, I had such respect for what they were doing and I was learning so much that it was a real education for me. And it would have been foolish. It never even crossed my mind to say, oh, well, I don't do this. This is below me or beneath me, or that, you know, oh, well, I'm not a stunt guy. I'm an actor. You know, it's like, no, I'm an actor who's doing stunts.
Sure.
You know, and the residual income from that is the same as if I was, you know, doing, you know, had multiple scenes. And I got to do some really fun stuff. You know, I got to play cops and robbers and shoot guns and have squibs explode on my body and drive fast and drive close and jump off of shit. And, you know, I got to do some really, really fun stuff. God, at one point we had the Brooklyn Bridge closed. It was midnight. The Yankees were in the World Series in town. And we had the bridge closed to traffic, and it's just like this, the city was just like roaring around us because the Yankees had just won this game. I forget which game it was, but, and we're driving back and forth on the Brooklyn Bridge at night. And it's like, how cool is this?
Yeah.
What New Yorker gets to do this? Or, you know, having squibs taped to your body and taking gunfire and falling into a produce stand. You know, for Hannibal, it's like, who gets to do this? This is cops and robbers. You know, it was so much fun and such an education and so humbling, and just really appealed to the hands-on kind of guy that I am and the work ethic that I have within me that says, you get your hands dirty, you get in there, you do the work, you carry the pads, you carry this, you do that. You know, if they need help hauling gear, then you pick up gear and you help hauling it. Never did it cross my mind that it's like, oh, well, no, I don't do this.
Yeah.
It was like, can I do more of this?
Yeah. So we've talked about some of the successes. What about, you know, the rejections that come along in the career? How have you been able to take those, absorb them, and just continue with the work and turn it around and keep driving forward, even in the face of those?
You know, that's a great question. And it's one that I think every actor has to answer at some point. And my best answer is that I've just been kind of too dumb to recognize that I should have been doing something else. I don't, you know, maybe not that. I know
the feeling. I know the feeling of am I doing the right thing here?
Am I doing it? And, you know, I mean, yeah, there have been moments when I've been self-aware enough to say, you know, what am I doing this for?
Yeah.
You know, is the return enough? Do I need this enough? And I've never been the type of actor that's like, oh my God, I must act. I have to have this. I've always been like, well, if I could do something else, I would. But I was a terrible roofer, you know, not a particularly good carpenter. I loved it. But, you know, this was what I ended up doing. This is what I chose to do. And once I was in it, I was like, oh, well, this is what I'm doing. I'm not sure I've ever really had that conversation with myself about, oh, well, geez, Terry, you know, this is a lot of rejection in this industry. And, you know, how are you going to handle that? And it's like, well, I guess I've always been pretty confident in my abilities. I think I've just had a healthy relationship with rejection, or with the no. Because in this business, you hear no without ever hearing it. You hear yes occasionally. You never hear no. You just don't hear anything. Yeah. You know, you just get ghosted, basically. Yeah. And I've always just thought, okay, well, if they didn't choose me, it's because they chose someone else. It's not because they didn't think my work was good, or they didn't think I was worthy of it, or they didn't think that I could fit into their world. They just chose someone else to do it. And I suppose I've always had that kind of either a healthy relationship with that, or just a blissful ignorance. I'm not sure which.
I was going to say, I think that's so true. I've been on the other side, having made a couple of short films, and, you know, when I'm casting them and I'm watching however many self-tapes, you know, and there are great actors, you know, great professional working actors. And sometimes you just go with one and not the other, simply because not because they were any better or worse. It just fits the vision, you know?
Right. And so. I suppose I've always just kind of had an intrinsic understanding of that, whether it's been conscientious or not. I've understood that it's like, okay, if it ain't me, it's just someone else.
Yeah.
You know, and I did get to a point in my career where I realized it's like, okay, there are a lot of sharks in this pool. I happen to be one of them, and all of them can do the job. All of them are going to do the job very well. If I'm up for, you know, some cop somewhere, and it used to be you'd go into auditions face to face, and you'd see the other guys in the waiting room, and you're thinking, any one of these guys can book this and do a great job, and I'm happy for them. I hope it's me. But any one of us is capable of doing this. So it was never, once I kind of got into it as a career, it was never, oh, well, they just don't like me. There must be something wrong with me. There was a period of time when I thought, what is the intangible that I'm missing? You know, if I'm not booking things right now, is there an intangible? Is there something that I'm not doing in the auditions? Am I not committed? Am I not, you know? So I buckled down and I prepared more. I tried to be better prepared. I tried to, and what it came down to over years, and I'm still learning this lesson, is just how to let it go, how to do the work, how to do what I do, to do my interpretation, to trust my own instincts, to trust my own impulses in the moment, to allow myself to just be free and explore the material as I'm doing it based on my preparation and based on the choices that I am going to make based on what my interpretation of this character is, instead of trying to figure out what is it that they want? What do I think they want?
Yeah.
I've given up on that. And it's taken me a long time to learn that lesson, but I think I've finally learned it, is that if you're sending me the audition, then you want my interpretation. You want my take. And I'm going to give you that. And if you don't want that, then you'll find someone else who would be perfectly capable of doing it. But I'm doing what I do, and I'm capable of taking direction and changing it and being really flexible. But this is what I'm showing you that I'm going to do with this.
How important would you say that patience, persistence, perseverance, those kind of like P buzzwords, how important are they to a successful career in the arts or any sort of creative endeavors? You know, I feel like you've got to be patient and persistent and just like keep driving forward. You know, would you say in your experience, whether for yourself or people around you, that's been a really driving force for them?
I think you have to employ all of those things as well as professionalism. To add another P word. Patience, yes, you have to believe that even if you can't feel it, the plates underneath you are constantly in motion. There's and that the universe really does want to give you what you want, what you desire. And so you have to be patient, and you have to believe, you have to have faith, and you have to have certainty that things are happening even if you can't see them. So be patient. Persistent, yes. Continue to plug away. Continue to do the work. Keep plugging away. Stay at it. Continue to be patient. Continue to believe. Be persistent, of course. Continue to work at the very best of your capacity. Be professional. Do your self-tapes to the very best of your ability. Do your audition work at the very best of your ability. When you book a job, show up on, be professional, be kind, be considerate, be conscientious, be aware of what's going on around you, be prepared, be an excellent team player when you're there on set, because work begets work. People want to work with people that they work with before, that they know they can count on to do the job and to be a good presence on set. To be someone that they want to spend time with, that they know is not going to be a problem, they know is not going to cost that production any money beyond what they're being paid, that they're not going to be a liability in any way. So it's the professional aspect that you have to take very seriously as well. This is my job. I do my job well, and I do my job not just when the camera's rolling, but everything that leads up to it and surrounds it. So yeah, all of those things apply to a life in the arts. And the persistence and the patience are certainly things that you have to have in abundance, because it's not a career choice. It's not a life choice. It's not a lifestyle that you can just kind of do. I mean, as a performing artist, you know, as a visual artist, I can write, or I can paint, or I can draw, or I can do these other things that can be singular.
Yeah.
But generally, as a performing artist, the element of performance requires an audience. I can do monologues in the privacy of my very own home, but it doesn't quite have the same pop, you know, and nor am I going to. I'm just not going to perform Hamlet for myself. That's just not going to happen. So in order to have a career in the arts, you do have to be patient, and you do have to have all of those P words, because when the opportunity comes along to perform, you want to be ready, and you want to be in a good mindset and have your heart ready to go.
For sure. Anything that you want to plug or mention before we wrap it up here?
Did I mention how much I love my wife and how great she is?
I think before we jumped on, yes.
Well, okay, before we talked, okay.
You can plug her
recently,
for sure.
Recently got married this past June and just still in that joy bubble. Right now, I'm recurring on Special Victims Unit on Law and Order, as chief of detectives, Tommy McGrath. It's been a little while since I did an episode. In fact, the last episode that I did was part of a trilogy. One of the episodes of which my wife Katia and I actually got story by credit on.
Yeah,
we were credited
awesome.
with having brought the story and elements of the story that became the episode into the producers. So we were fortunate enough to get the story by credit on that. And I think they want me back for another couple episodes before the season finishes up, and I will probably roll over into the next season. As the chief of detectives, I'm Olivia's boss, you know, on the show. So there's that. Career wise, I continue to be in it. I continue to apply all these things we've been talking about in terms of professionalism and perseverance and patience and a desire. I have an ongoing desire to do this. So I continue to move up the ladder. Every time Katia and I were just having the discussion this morning, it's like every time I get another rung up, there's more rungs. It's a long ladder.
Yeah.
So there's always something to strive for. I hope never to get to that point where I'm like, okay, I'm good. Yeah. You know, I'm Yertle the Turtle sitting all the way at the top, you know. We all know how that went for him. I've also just recently been talking with one of the networks about continuing to direct. I've directed some episodes of a show that I did several years back called The Inspectors. And I'm looking forward to maybe getting an opportunity to direct some primetime TV.
Awesome. Love
so
that.
Looking forward to that. Fantastic.
Sounds great.
Just finding all kinds of ways to make a living in this industry, because it's a hard industry to make a living.
For sure. Well, Terry, yeah. Thank you for coming on with me today.
It's been an absolute pleasure being here, man. Thank you so much for wanting to have me. That's really cool.
Thank you so much for listening today. Please subscribe to the Artist Work Ethic podcast anywhere you listen to podcasts, and please rate and review the show. Follow us on Instagram at The Artist's Work Ethic. And check out theartistsworkethic.com.